Everyone, it's good to be with you. We do have numerous visitors with us today. We're delighted by your presence. Looking out at the group this morning, how did we ever survive without that extension back there? We already seem quite full, but it is great to have everyone with us, and especially those who are visiting with us. This is the month of December now, as we are entering into it, and it is a month of It's a very special holiday toward the end of the month, Christmas time. People get excited about all of that. And, of course, the stores are beginning to, for some time, have begun to have Christmas decorations and Christmas items and that kind of thing. And certainly the world looks at the birth of Jesus and gives celebration to that. And certainly the birth of Jesus is a very important biblical subject. But when you look at where the New Testament puts the emphasis, the New Testament does put the emphasis elsewhere. Not at the birth of Jesus, but at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 3, I delivered to you, Corinthians, as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared, and then Paul goes on to list several of those post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. Paul says, I delivered to you as of first importance that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he was resurrected, and then that he appeared to various witnesses to prove that he was the resurrected Son of God as he claimed. First importance. That's what Paul says about that. I think there are so many reasons why the death and resurrection of Jesus are indeed of first importance in the gospel. But what I want to talk with you for a few minutes about this morning is some lessons that we can draw and that we need to draw from the death and resurrection of Jesus. The fact that our Lord died on that cross, that he was buried in that tomb, that he was resurrected unto this new life, and then, of course, appeared to prove all of that, ascending to heaven finally to reign at the right hand of God. There are some lessons that we need to derive from those things of first importance. And I'm not going to have time to talk about all the things that we might talk about in that regard, but I do want us to ask this question: what does Jesus' death and resurrection teach us? And let's look at three very important lessons. First of all, I would suggest to you that when you think about the death and resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God, it ought to teach us just how serious sin really is. Because that's why Jesus had to die. Jesus had to die because God determined, I want to save those people. I want to save those sinners. And it took the death of the Son of God to be the kind of suitable sacrifice so that we could have our sins remitted. We've been talking in our Hebrews class about Jesus and his great priesthood. And it took this new kind of priest who would offer up the ultimate sacrifice himself in order to provide atonement for our sins. That's how serious sin is. It took the death of the Son of God to atone for it. That needs to impress us, brethren. We had Farrell Jenkins come and be with us a few weeks ago and talk with us about the religion of Islam. The religion of Islam talks about sin, but the religion of Islam doesn't talk about sin having to be atoned for by the death of the Son of God or by Muhammad. That's not the concept of Islam, but it is the concept of New Testament Christianity. When you look at Rabbinic Judaism, for example, that is something I tend to spend a lot of time studying in my particular area of study, and that Rabbinic Judaism has its roots in the
Pharisaism of Jesus' day and some of the other Jewish sects at the time, and there certainly was not the concept there that it took the death of the Messiah to take care of sin. In fact, it would appear that the basic concept that most ancient Jews had was just the idea that, yes, sin is bad, but if we just now follow the law and do what the Torah says and study it, well, that's sufficient to make up for our sin. Or at least, ultimately, when we die, and death is the punishment for sin, the fact that we finally die ourselves, well, that punishment then has been exacted, and so that takes care of our sin. And that's apparently what Rabbinic Judaism thought in their concept of things. That's really all that was needed to take care of sin. You just make sure that you're now doing those things that are right, that are those things in God's law, and ultimately when you die, well, that'll be the punishment. God will resurrect you into that heavenly new kingdom, and everything will be fine. And that's all it'll take. And yet 2,000 years ago, Jesus came into the world, and Jesus, the Son of God, died on a cross and then was resurrected. Why in the world would he have to die on a cross if Judaism or just our living right and our ultimately dying and being resurrected would suffice and would take care of sin? No, God said that doesn't take care of sin. God says sin is so serious and such a problem that my Son's blood must be shed in order to atone for sin. And I tell you what, folks, when you wrap your mind around that point, that will change the way that you look at the sin in your own life. It's serious business. It's absolutely serious business. When you look at the price that it took for sin to be atoned for. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, "You were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." I tell you, when you look at the price tag, that's when you see how significant an item is. When you look at what it cost for our sin to be remitted, it took the blood of the Son of God, the precious blood of the Lamb of God. That's the high price. Sin. It's serious business. It's a serious problem. And if you will grasp that, that will change the way that you view how you live your life. Because when you and I really recognize what it cost God, what it cost Jesus, so that our sins could be atoned for, then we're not going to have some flippant attitude about the things in our life that are wrong. We're not going to have some cavalier attitude and think, well, it's not that big of a deal. Or it's okay if I do certain things. After all, I can do that and just ask God to forgive me later. Or I don't have to worry about changing. Or it's not that big of a deal. Don't get all bent out of shape about wrong things. You'll never have that attitude if you really understand the death and resurrection of Jesus and that that's what was necessary for our sin to be purified. That'll change your life when you really appreciate this that Paul said was of first importance in the gospel teaching. Well, what else does Jesus' death and resurrection teach us? Well, I would suggest to you this. The death and resurrection of Jesus teaches us that this current life is not really what's important. And I'll tell you how the death and resurrection of Jesus teaches that. Because Jesus did not die and then get resurrected to live in this worldly existence. Oh, he appeared to his disciples. Yes, he appeared to various witnesses, but he didn't appear to them because they were the ones in this earthly life that he was going to be then continuing to live with. No, he appeared with them just to prove he had been resurrected, but the resurrected Jesus then ascends to heaven. That's where Jesus is spending his resurrected life, in heaven, not in this world. And that necessarily should teach us something about the inadequacy of this world, and that this world and all that it has in it, it's not the important consideration. It's not the focal point. And the death and resurrection of Jesus needs to emphasize that point to us. This life is not what's really important. I appreciate the verses that were read in our scripture reading a few moments ago. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. There Peter talks about conduct yourselves with fear during your time upon this earth. That language is the language of pilgrimage, sojourning. We're just here temporarily. And that's what the death and resurrection of Jesus illustrates for us and highlights for us, that we're ultimately looking forward to be resurrected, just as Jesus was resurrected, not to live in this current world, but to live in that new world where Jesus is now. And so we're just sojourners right here. We're just here temporarily. And yet we get so focused upon these things in this life. And we have the idea that this current world is what's really important. Demas had that problem. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul, as he is in Rome, having been arrested apparently for the second time and awaiting his ultimate execution, really, he talks about various ones who were no longer with him. Some were no longer with him for reasons of just logistics. But some, like Demas, were not with Paul because they chose not to be, because they changed their concept. They changed their walk of life. Paul said of Demas, he left me because he loved this present world. He left me having loved this present world. Folks, that's the way a lot of people are. That's the way a lot of Christians are. Things in this life, we get so caught up with things in this life that we do not need to have as our focus. There are so many people whose lives are not the way that they intended for them to be, that they expected for them to be, and they allow themselves to just be mired in a deep sense of depression and anxiety because this present world is not what they like it to be. Well, this world is not ever going to be what we want it to be. It never was intended to be. The death and resurrection of Jesus and his ascension to that heavenly world, that needs to teach us that lesson. There are so many people who focus in upon material things in this present world. Their jobs, what they can gain of a material nature, and that is their focus, and everything revolves around that. And just like Demas, their attention is focused upon this present life, and the death and resurrection of Jesus that we've just commemorated ought to be teaching us that's not what it's about. Don't allow yourself to be caught up in all of that. What else does the death and resurrection of Jesus teach us? I want to suggest this to you, because I think we sometimes don't give enough attention to this point. The death and resurrection of Jesus ought to highlight for us the fact that we don't know God's plan. We don't know God's plan for our life. We don't know what God's intention is. In fact, people never anticipated that the Messiah, when he came on the scene, would, according to God's plan, have to die and be resurrected. Never thought that. Never dreamed that would be the case. But you know, that's always the way it is with God and his plans. The way that we think of things and the way that God thinks of things are not the same. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, there God says this, "My ways are not your ways, nor are your thoughts my thoughts, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God sees a bigger picture, and God has plans in this world that He is enacting, and those are things that we just would never have dreamed up on our own and never would have anticipated. And the death and resurrection of Jesus is the ultimate illustration of that. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, that the cross of Jesus Christ was foolishness to people because that had never entered into the mind of men. But that was God's plan. And to me, folks, what that ought to illustrate for us is that that's the way it is with our lives individually. We don't know what God has ultimately planned for us in this current life. And yet so often we live as if we are in control of this life, and what our expectation is about life, that's the way our future is necessarily going to be. It certainly may not work out that way. A lot of people plan how their future is going to be. A lot of people have it all worked out. Okay, I'm going to get married by the time I'm this age. I'm going to find so-and-so, and that's going to be great. We're going to have, 2.2 kids, and we're going to just get everything worked out there. I'm going to have this job. We're going to make this money. We're going to have this, that. We're going to live here. Going to move away from Florida because it's too hot, so we're going to move over there, this and all. Got everything worked out. And have all these expectations. And it didn't work out that way. Something happens. That happens a lot, I think, sometimes with marriages. I think a lot of times what happens with married couples, and sometimes why they have some of the problems that they have, is they had pre-planned how their married life was going to be. And they had it all worked out. And then it just finally hits them that my life is not what I expected. But we need to understand that this life is not in our control. It's not under our control. And God is the one ultimately who is in control of this life. And it may be that there are things that we're going to go through in this life that we never, ever anticipated. It'll be a great big shock. Just as much a shock as the Messiah coming and having to die was a shock to God's people. But our ways are not God's ways, and His thoughts are our thoughts, and His thoughts are higher. And it may be that there are even some negative things that you and I are going to have to go through that we never expected, never anticipated. It may be that your spouse is not as wonderful and ideal as you planned that they ought to be. And guess what? Your spouse probably thinks the same thing about you. And it may be that your children disappoint you. And it may be that you lose that job. It may be that the whole industry just collapses. And you had all these great plans, and it's just not working out that way. Keep all that in perspective. Remember that this present world is not where the focus is. And remember that God may be doing something with you and your life that you never anticipated. Paul talks in 2 Corinthians, the initial chapter of that book, about all of his sufferings that you know good and well Paul never expected he was going to have to go through when he was sitting at the feet of Gamaliel. And yet here he is now in his life, having lived a life of suffering for the Messiah. And yet Paul's point in all that is this provides now us an opportunity to render comfort to others who are going through their time of suffering. And Paul saw it that way. He saw it that way now, that he'd seen what God's plan was for him. Paul writes to Timothy about the fact that his personal experience in his conversion to Jesus Christ, having at first been someone opposed to Jesus, but now serving Jesus Christ, Paul recognized he was the ultimate illustration of what salvation by the grace of God through Christ was all about. He never anticipated earlier on in his life that's the way it would be. But he got that now. And we need to understand that ourselves. I'm not suggesting to us folks that we don't need to make preparations and plans and try to be wise about the future, but we need to understand what James said in James chapter 4 and verse 15. We ought to say always about the future, if the Lord wills, I'll do this and that. Because the future is not in our hands. It's not under our control. And we don't know. And the death and resurrection of Jesus, again, is just the ultimate illustration that God's got a plan and a purpose that is unbeknownst to us, and he's going to work his plan and purpose. But we need to remember that God's going to see to it that all things ultimately are working out for good to this ultimate goal and purpose he has through Jesus Christ. And so however things turn out in this earthly life for you and me, ultimately, it's all going to work out well for us when we're with Jesus. And that's what it's all about. And if you and I will learn that lesson, it will change our life. It'll change our perspective. We won't be as prone to allow the things of this world to just devastate us because we realize, I'm looking for that better place. And this is just a temporary stopover. And God's in control. And I'm going to let his ways that are higher than mine be what directs me. And we're going to remember that I am purified and redeemed and therefore of value because it was the precious blood of the Son of God. High price tag that it was, but nevertheless, the precious blood of the Son of God that makes me redeemed and purified and spotless now. The death and resurrection of Jesus, it's of first importance. And it will absolutely change the way that you view life and yourself and your focus if you allow the death and resurrection of Jesus to be of first importance to you in your life and in your thinking. I hope these things this morning will be of benefit to you. I hope you'll reflect on them, and that I will reflect on them, and that we will really appreciate the lessons that God teaches us to the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son. Is there someone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel of Jesus? Can we assist you in some way? Can we assist you in being baptized into Christ? Are you a erring Christian? Can we pray for you? Whatever be your need, let that be known while together we stand and sing this song of encouragement.